Thank you for listening to the ALC Daily Podcast. Join us as we dive deep into personal stories, gain wisdom from Scripture, and be inspired by amazing guest interviews. Our goal is simple: to help you deepen your personal walk with Christ. At ALC, we believe that every person needs community that leads to encounters that cause growth. This podcast is one of the ways that we strive to help you become the hands and feet of Jesus in your everyday lives. Good morning and welcome again to the ALC Daily Podcast. My name is Pastor Jared Pollard.
And this is Pastor Benjamin Davis.
This is a Friday episode and we're going to continue doing some GSSM team interviews. And today we are joined by Laura.
And we just love to go a little different on Fridays. And this is just an attempt to interview some people that have had the Isaiah experience and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Or in modern American vernacular, it would be, "Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I've done the training. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to go for people's souls. I'm ready to go for miracles. I'm ready to set people free." And we're just so grateful to have the GSSM team with us to interview them and to get a little bit of their story of what that looked like for them, you know what I'm saying, in the process. So we've got Laura Marker, and we're so grateful that you're with us, Laura. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your initiation, your early years, and your journey into Christ.
Gosh, there's so much to say. My first thought is there's no me without we, and God has made that very abundantly clear.
Boy, that'd be good for everybody right there.
Right.
There's no me without we.
Right.
I like that.
It's me and him and me, right? Ongoing, unfolding revelation of the intimacy. I grew up without the intimacy. I just always felt like I was wandering, drifting through life. Fractured, broken, very dysfunctional, very torn up inside. I didn't connect well with people I wanted to. I looked very joyous on the outside, but I spent a lot of time with candles sitting in my room, eventually going deep into darkness. I didn't know the darkness was dark. I thought it was light. I found out about the beautiful side of evil. I found out about fake peace. I was hungry for peace, but the fake peace is like a sedative, and it takes over your mind and it dulls the senses. So I grew up in the church. I'm not sure how far you want me to go.
You're doing fine.
So I grew up in the church, and I just was familiar with churchianity. I didn't know that we could have a 24/7 personal relationship. I didn't really see it modeled around me. I prayed the prayer of salvation many times because I thought there might be a hell. And so I was afraid of going to hell. But my hunger and the call of God on my life drew me into the occult and the New Age. I went as far as I possibly could, gave myself deeply, but those prayers were real. And in the legal realm, God had a protection over my life that I could not go as far as I wanted to. My psychic teacher at the time, I was being trained to be a medium, a psychic. And so as I was trying to go deeper, the hand of God said, "No, we're not doing that."
Wow.
Pulled me out. The fruit of that was depression, fear, and loneliness. And being involved in the occult is like pouring gasoline on the soul that's already really fractured by dysfunction. So it really fractured me. And God, in the midst of it, so let me back up. So here I am sitting in my room, listening to Keith Green, "Rushing wind, blow through this temple," were the lyrics, "blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me, for I have been born again. The presence, the manifest, beautiful presence of the living God came over me. I recognized him, because I thought that presence I had before was the presence of beauty, the presence of my room, a spirit guide, some happy thought, but it was him all along. And then I realized I had recognized him in other people, but didn't know it was him.
I want to dive into this. I wanted you to appreciate you going into a little more detail, telling your story, because I knew we wanted to lay that as a foundation. And when you say this Keith Green, "Rushing wind, blow through this temple," that has an emotional value to me because that was those were the years of my clean out. I got saved, but in college, I'm getting cleaned out. And of all,
I thought she was going to start talking about the sheep and the goats there for a second. Yeah,
well, you know? Well, we played the sheep and the goats too. We've done that one too of Keith Green's. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Google
that's
it.
Intense.
It yeah. You know, go back and it'll inspire you. But because he's right. But yes. But the
that might have been a little bit more of a fearful encounter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's yeah. If you don't have a healthy fear of God, go back and do that one. But the, for me, I was in college and the best description of my life was, I'm saved, but I'm like a dirty sewage pipe that needs a clean out and lots of it. And one clean out won't do. It needs to be cleansed. And the rushing wind song blow through this temple. That one was a clean out tool in my life. It was as God was cleaning out the dirty from my life, and making me into a vessel that did not block the Holy Spirit, really. So I like that song, and I like your story with that. Let me dive into something that I know is unique about your testimony. And the reason I want to dive into this is that I find that people that are not in the process of discipleship are more and more dabbling in other things that are not Jesus and not the Holy Spirit. Mm. They are dabbling more and more in the occult, Ouija boards, psychics, trying to find, to connect that spirit world, but there's a difference between the spirit world and the Holy Spirit. Can you dive into that just a little bit? Because you've got a lot more experience in this than a lot of people. Can you dive into that with people? Maybe they've got family members that are toying with this. Maybe they themselves have done this. But can you dive into what are some of the consequences of people diving into the spirit world that is not the Holy Spirit?
Well, let me say this. It's very seductive and it's very beautiful when the lies come in. When I say beautiful, it's the beautiful side of evil that hoodwinks people into deception. Mm. And if they have a calling on their lives to move in power, to move in signs and wonders. For me, I was in transcendental meditation, very deep, and that was the fake of being in the trance state in the real, in the kingdom of God, where He takes us deep into His in presence and encounters with the Lord. So, if there is something in somebody's life generationally that other people dabble in their lives, and then there's the call, it takes us into the occult, and it is rampant. The enemy is running scared right now. Mm. It's in cartoons. It's in PG movies. Mm. It's everywhere. The fake is just in people's faces.
Yeah.
And the consequences of that will be greater and greater deception. And it's people become comatose. I'm not sure if that's the right word exactly, but they're not able to know the real. It's just like, so I'm sorry if this sounds judgy for those who love Captain Crunch, but it's like...
My mom banned it, so I don't...
I used to love peanut butter Captain Crunch, but it's like when you have the taste buds for that, and then you go sugar-free like I did several years ago, and you go back to it, it's disgusting.
See, that's why my mom banned it. She she banned all sugar cereals.
Right.
Because she didn't want that.
So when you have the real, the fake is disgusting.
Yeah.
And you see all the barbed wire in it.
Yeah.
When people are in it, they don't realize they're covering themselves in barbed wire.
Mm.
And a lot of psychics are very, very gifted people. It's a gift from God.
Mm.
The enemy doesn't give gifts. It's just a perversion. And a lot of people in that realm have really compassionate hearts, really a desire to heal.
Yeah.
So they get into Reiki and they are channeling illegally power into people's lives at a damage and a cost to themselves.
Mm. So you would say that there is actually a power to it.
There is
an actual unholy, if you will, unholy power to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the common fruits that you see of people that have gone into the unholy power? We know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So we can measure the fruits of if a person has dove into the Holy Spirit, you're going to see these fruits come in their lives. What are fruits that you see from the other side, from the unholy spirits?
I see a lifestyle of... given over to gluttony, given over to, I don't know how to say that L word, licentiousness.
Licentiousness.
Yes.
Licentiousness.
Yes. Given over to debauchery given, mm-hmm. and it becomes a gratifying lifestyle that leads to no morals, no groundedness. It's very selfish and it's very greedy. Mm. What happens is, for me, there was a lust for power. I believe that God has power gifts on my life, so a call to power gifts.
Yeah.
So in the occult, there's always a desire for more, which requires greater and greater sacrifice.
Yeah, okay. What about, I don't want to go too far on this one, but what about the New Age side? Tell me about how a person starts slipping into that side. Again, I'm comparing and contrast. You got the Holy Spirit, and there's a reason he's called the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Not all spirits are holy. And so what do you see in the New Age realm in our modern society?
Well, what comes to mind for myself right now is I was at a college event as a teenager, and I saw this women's healing circle. So okay. I imagine that's still 30 years ago is when I saw that.
Okay.
So what happens is at different universities, they'll have healing situations for people to come into, and they're so full of love and kindness, but it's the fake.
Mm.
And it again, it's seductive. It brings people in. Mm. So my first encounters were a healing women's circle, which is basically we did ritual, and it was a seduction to go in deeper into darkness.
Okay.
So again, as I said before, it's a beautiful side of evil.
Mm. Wow.
And it's very enticing.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's turn the corner just a little bit, because I find that people's need for deliverance from unholy spirits is more and more common in America. We used to say, well, that's over there. That's over there in third world nations. You'd see it more. But I'm finding it's much more common here in the United States now. Take us through the process of, obviously we don't have time for a teaching. You did that. But, you know, the process of a person listening to this is saying, man, I've been dabbling in some unholy spirits. What are good steps for them to say, I need to get unbound from those, unshackled from those, so I can go into just Jesus and just the Holy Spirit?
Right. What's so exciting is that means God's putting his finger on that and it's time.
Yeah.
So the first step would be to repent.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to close those doors. And oftentimes there are some lies in there. So it looks like this. I repent for my involvement in whatever the process was, the Ouija board, or I repent for communicating with spirit guides, using automatic writing, going through the list of different things. Some written out prayers are really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I wish I had one off the top of my head right now. Acts 29. Acts 29 online is a book of many, many different prayers to pray through.
Mm.
And also what often happens is there unforgiveness that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And usually starting with parents and siblings and early friends.
Mm. So I remember whenever I received Christ, one of the first realizations was that I had demonic problems in my life. There really wasn't anybody there to help me with those. So I went through what I call self-deliverance for years in my own life. And I you mentioned that as well. How can a person get help? I mean, do you think it goes faster if they get someone to help them with the deliverance process?
It very much does.
Okay.
It goes much faster. I think I could have saved a couple decades of the process.
Decades.
Literally okay. decades, because I would get reinfested.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to hold my deliverance, and
right.
it was quite worse.
Yeah.
If I had people to walk alongside me
mm-hmm.
to just use practical, simple steps of repentance, forgiveness, renunciation, and then the person takes authority over that, or the inner healing teaching. What is, Lord, is there a lie I'm believing? Or the exchange. There's all these tools that we have now. It really takes minutes. If somebody was right next to the person walking them through, it could take months.
Wow. I love it. So you could take a process that maybe took two decades and get that down fast, and we've seen that through encounters, which a little advertisement here. That's why at Abundant Life, we push small groups so much, because you're going to have the encounters where you get the deliverance, you get freedom, but you said something about holding your ground. Let's close on that thought. What do you mean by holding your ground after you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, you get some deliverance from the unholy spirits, let's go into that just a little bit. Why do you need to hold your ground? What's your risk and what are you going to do to hold your ground?
Well, first off, holding the ground means being filled with the Holy Spirit in those areas.
Yeah.
Because these things, they even though they're a breath, they're just like smoke, so they don't take up much room. But when they're gone, you'll feel the emptiness of it. Holy Spirit needs to come and fill those areas for sure.
Yeah.
So that's the first key in holding it. Being in relationship with other believers that are strong and not flaky.
Yeah.
Those that are really secure in their identity is really crucial.
Yeah.
Being in the Word. Being in worship, understanding who your enemy is, because that is the one or two or three or seven or hundred that are going to keep coming back, whatever you've been given over to.
Yeah. And there's a proverb that I'm reminded of right now. He who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all sound judgment. Mm. And so we're not meant to fight the devil alone. We are meant to do it in groups with other people. And that's how we hold our ground. We do that through the Word, the Spirit, our devotions, and then other people that are helping us to do that, right? That's what we're saying. We need other people.
Yes, very much so. And I think being a contemplative and being an isolator, that is probably what kept me from having such a long, or helped me have such a long process.
Wow.
Yeah.
Laura, thank you for sharing. I'm believing the Lord is going to use this podcast to help some people.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. You can join us on Sundays at our South Campus at 9:30 and 11 a.m. and at our New Grain Campus at 11 a.m. For more information about ALC and our small groups, please visit our website at abundant.us.